Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way and our message for this evening. For anyone who has opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand that this is a live teleconference meeting, so there'll be people dialing in from all over the country, and we will begin our message in about 3 to 5 minutes. Just to give them the opportunity to get here. Anytime that you would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings, for those of you who are listening on podcast, we hold them every Monday night and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter an access code, which is 373363 pound. That spells free me on your telephone keypad. Or you can go online to www.freedomswayministries.com for more information about us, our purposes, and ways that you can support our ministry. God bless you for joining us tonight. If you'd like to say hello before I mute your phones and we get started with our meeting, now is a good chance for you to do that.
Hello, hello. This is Helen.
Hi, I got Helen and I think I got Claudia.
You did. Thank you.
All righty. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to say hello? Okay. Anybody else? There's Mitch. Welcome.
Hey, sis. My phone was on mute. I didn't realize. All right. Thank you for being there. Hi, ladies. Hey, Ms. Phil.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
I heard another little soft hello.
Hello, lady. Of course. My two favorite ladies. Two of my very favorite ladies.
Yeah, you have lots of favorite ladies.
But no, these two are really
They amazing. Are. They are amazing women. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to say hello? We want to give everybody another minute. Hey, Gretchen. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
Hello, it's Larry.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, how you doing?
So good to hear your voice. Big air hugs.
We're ready for you to come south again, Larry.
Well, I'm already kind of south. I'm in Georgia.
Oh, are you? You're working in Georgia now.
Yes, ma'am.
Where, what part?
Macon.
Oh, okay. How long is that job going to last?
Really not for sure. They're building a new tissue plant.
Okay.
And they've been building on it for a few years, and the owner is talking about adding on. It's I know we're working on the second line, second building, and there's a then I think they're going to put another one in. So I know layoffs ain't supposed to happen until sometime in July, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, it'll be nice and hot then, so you can come then.
Yeah. Spring.
Yeah, because we're right around the corner from the springs, and they're amazing.
Where are y'all at now?
We're in a little town called O'Brien. We got a feed store, a gas station, and a post office.
I'll have to look that up.
Okay. Anybody else want to say hello before we mute your phones? Okay. I am going to go ahead then and mute your telephones, and we will get started tonight. The only other thing I want to say, Larry, about this place, we're kind of in the Itchituckney Basin.
Okay.
For the Itchituckney Suwannee Rivers down in that area. Yeah.
Okay.
Where there's springs, there's probably four natural springs within 15, 20 minutes from our house.
Right on.
Yeah, they're beautiful. So I'm going to mute your phones and get us started. Praise the Lord. Pastor Phil, would you pray and introduce us, and then I'll start the message.
Right. Hallelujah. Welcome all. I'm Phil Burdett, here with my wife, Vicki, and we are Freedom's Way Ministries. Our mission is to help as many people as possible come into their true identity in Christ and to operate in the benefits and power of kingdom authority. So that is our mission, and we do our best to help everyone reach their full potential in walking in God's power and anointing. So this is a special message tonight on the anointing, and it just fits right into the story, and it is, you're going to be blessed. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray us in, get us started. Father, we just thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the anointing on your word. We thank you that it will bless the hearers. Ask you to seal this word in their heart. And in the name of Jesus, I turn aside any assignment from hell that would try to blunt the power of this word and make it of none effect, because this is the word of God, and it is powerful. And it carries a great anointing. So hallelujah, Lord. We just love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in all these people's hearts. I just ask you to bless them abundantly with this word and et cetera, et cetera. Lord, we just thank you. Give you honor and glory. Hallelujah. And we actually commit ourselves to you to receive what you have. And Lord, I just ask that you bless the hearers in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, okay, Lord, you know what's in his heart, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, we are moving into a new series tonight called Understanding and Moving in the Anointing of God. This is part one. So those of you who are here, you get in on the very ground level, and we're going to go up from here. But tonight we are going to talk about the anointing of God. And the reason is, I do not believe that there are a lot of people who really understand it. And if we don't understand it, how can we enjoy it? You know, we all hear, oh, that person is anointed, this person is anointed. But what does that really mean? Is it some special Christian hoodoo voodoo? Is it some, you know, unusual favor of God that's poured out from heaven on a few select individuals? So let's look at this word anointing and do our best to get a better understanding. starting off in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This will be basically our foundation scripture for the series. It's very familiar to most of us. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Amen. This is a verse that shows us several things. First of all, the anointing is of God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It tells us the Holy Spirit is involved, that the anointing comes with the Holy Spirit. It tells us there's a purpose in the anointing, and the purpose is doing good and bringing healing from the oppressions of hell. According to the description in this verse in Acts, that means participating in deliverance, freeing people from bondages of Satan, which have had them bound up in physical and mental diseases and emotional trauma and addictions and poverty and whatever else is carried on the lives of the enemy and deposited into our lives. The anointing. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Amen, 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 amen. The word anointing means a smearing. Now, in this case, it speaks of God. It is a smearing of God himself. Sometimes we can't even feel it, and sometimes it is very uncomfortable. When we allow the Lord to rub us, he will smear his nature and his character into us, and his will becomes our will, and his desires our desires, and we know that we know what it is we're appointed to do. So here's the first clue. If you don't yet know what you are appointed to do, maybe you simply haven't allowed God to rub you the wrong way yet. The anointing is always with purpose, and it is God's anointing on our lives that appoints us to certain tasks and empowers us to accomplish those tasks.
So who is anointed? Well, every person on this line can say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
Every person on the planet carries an anointing of some kind. We've all been rubbed by God, although most people don't realize it. Think of Samson. Throughout his entire life, Samson fulfilled God's plan and purpose, even though he thought he was simply fulfilling his own lusts and desires much of the time. He was anointed and appointed by God, and at the end of his life became fully aware of it. I don't want to wait until the end of my life to realize how God has used me. I want to be aware all the way through my life so that I can fully enjoy my participation in God's plan. Help us, Lord. And that famous verse the church uses to beat you up, touch not my anointed, 1 Chronicles 16:22. So we need to go back a couple verses to see who this verse names as the anointed. 1 Chronicles 16:16-22, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and has confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto you will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm.
Thank you, Lord. So you and I can clearly see from this scripture that God refers to the entire nation of Israel as his anointed. Now, moving that revelation forward past the cross, we see that all who are born again are now this nation of God's anointed people. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So we are those anointed ones whom God protects and fiercely defends. When people come against us, we need not bow up in pride and offense in some ridiculous attempt to defend ourselves or validate our position or claw and clutch at some elusive semblance of our reputation in the world. God said, touch not my anointed. And I believe when people do break through and bring reproach into our lives, the unspoken end of that warning, touch not my anointed, is or else. Now, believe me, I don't want to be on the receiving end of God's or else.
Yeah, I can agree with that. There are plenty of places in Scripture where God's anointing is physically poured out in oil to anoint kings and priests and appoint them to their responsibilities. It's all Scripture given to us as a foreshadowing of the oil of the Holy Spirit being poured out on us to anoint us as God's priests and kings in the earth. 1 Peter 2 verses 9 through 10 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, if we are God's anointed, and we are, how have we allowed the devil to deceive us into thinking we're not? If we have the Holy Spirit in us, why do we act like we have no power to overcome life's everyday challenges? If we truly have Jesus in our hearts, why do we not love people and condemn evil? This verse in 1 Peter says we are to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. How many of us are doing that? I know this is a challenging message, and it's meant to be. We don't put these messages together to make you feel good necessarily and then leave you the way we found you. I want all of us, myself included, to be challenged into greatness, challenged into accepting the anointing God has rubbed into us. We all talk about how we have Jesus in us, but in all honesty, very few of us ever let him out. Let him out.
That's right. I heard a preacher say once that when a person is walking in his anointing, it is visible in the spirit realm. First Peter says we are in his marvelous light. Don't you think if we are shining forth the glory of God that it shows in the spirit realm? I certainly believe that. I also believe it's visible in the natural realm as well. And I have heard people comment about seeing light emanating, you know, from people. If you read Psalm 45 and verse 7, and then go on to verse 8, let's do that. Psalm 45, verse 7 and 8, because I do believe it's visible in the natural. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. All your garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made you glad. We are anointed with the oil of gladness. That's joy. We've been rubbed with joy and gladness. But here's the catch. That rubbing happens as we die to the world and become alive in Christ. In verse 8 that I just read to you, the oils that are mentioned there, these oils are representative of the oils and spices that were used to anoint dead bodies. They were rubbed over the body. They were soaked into the funeral cloth in which the body was wrapped. Believe me, if you're still living in the world, and if you are not dead to the stings of rejection and abuse and criticism and accusation and all that other ungodly stuff, you're not going to smell like sweet spices, and you're not going to be demonstrating joy when things come along that are designed to snuff out the light of God from your countenance.
Amen. Being smeared with God's anointing will make a person flexible and supple, yet firm and bold, tender and yet sharp, sensitive to hear the voice of God and respond rightly. The anointing of God, tenderizes our hearts and makes it possible for us to pick up on God's oftentimes subtle hints and know exactly what he wants and move into that direction. The actions and attitudes that are our best for all concerned. The anointing is God's holy oil that makes things work. Just like oil in your car. If you let it go dry, your car's not going to run for very long. Oil decreases the friction in the cylinder and helps keep the engine running smooth, cool and smooth. So if we want to run cool and smooth, we have to allow God to smear us with his anointing. Really, rub it in. The anointing marks us. It's visible in the natural and in the spirit.
Yes, it is. And that has been proven in my own life. Many of you have heard some of the testimonies, but on my last trip out west to Montana and Washington State, everywhere I went, the demons got stirred up. It was like they were looking at me and not seeing anything but light, and the light hurt them because they're bound in chains of darkness. So they either ran or they cried out. And when they cried out, God was faithful to banish them back to hell and free the person. It's amazing. Everywhere I went, people were pouring out their hearts. In some cases, they were spewing out their hearts. It was really interesting, but it was not all that unusual. It happens. Not even nature can stop.
That's right. Not even nature itself. The natural laws operating in the world can stop the anointing of God. Consider Jesus when he calmed the storm, or the disciples when they fed the 5,000. That's a historical event attributed to Jesus. And believe me, I'm not taking anything away from Jesus, but we all need to realize the multiplication of loaves and fishes came at the hands of the disciples themselves.
That's right.
It was God's anointing in action. Nature recognizes and obeys the anointing of God. Nothing can stop you when you have been anointed and appointed. Hallelujah. What stops us is our unbelief. Now, I have to say that again because it is so simple and so profound. What stops us is our unbelief. Hell comes along to tell us we're not anointed and we have no purpose. We get beat up and this and that. God can't use us. He doesn't even want to use us. We're no good. And 100 other lies to smother and cover and darken the light that is within us. Know this, the devil will lie to you as often as you will receive it. And he doesn't quit. And when he finds a soft spot to plant the lie, he plants it deep.
That is so true. Every one of us has God's anointing, which means we have God's purpose inside us. Each one of us has destiny in God. We are not here to simply exist until Jesus comes back and hope we can get by all right until then. We're not even here to have a nice, happy little life. We are here to recognize the anointing of God on us and advance his kingdom in the earth according to his anointing and his appointing. Now, here's some more good news. Our destiny includes every promise in the Word of God. We are anointed to live out the promises as benefits. Those include physical and mental health, prosperity, peace of mind, blessing, financial freedom, emotional stability, and about 3,999 more. There's a lot of them. You know, I would much rather experience the benefits than stand on the promises. That good old hymn, standing on the promises, da-da-da. You know, I want to experience the benefits instead of standing on the promises. So I'm going to encourage you to stop standing on the promises. Start picking them up and applying them into your life. You have been marked with an anointing of God. Principalities and powers and demons can see God's mark on you. And you need to see it too. If you've read the Thursday gift, you've seen this saying, if you look in the mirror and see anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're looking at a false identity. When you look in the mirror, you should see Jesus. Now, any of you who have not read the Thursday gift, if you will tell me after the line, I will send you a copy of that book.
Praise the Lord. A gift. The anointing comes with purpose, and it also comes with power to fulfill that purpose. Before he ascended, Jesus said this, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit, the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave, is in us.
Whoa, say that again.
The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave is in us. And we are to be witnesses. A primary definition of witness is martyr, someone who dies for his cause. I would submit to you that you cannot be an effective witness if you haven't died to yourself and to the world.
That's right.
The world, the flesh, and the devil. Paul said he died daily. And it's because of that, because he was dead, that he could move in the resurrection power to bring the gospel in more than word only. He brought it in demonstration. That's what I think most people in the body of Christ are looking for, is the demonstration.
That's right.
How do we witness successfully? When we are successful in our endeavors, not moping around and whining and crying about every little thing that goes wrong in our lives.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Yeah, I got to get a hold of that one. Not in questioning God and accusing him and others for our difficulties. Psalm 119:74 says, "They that fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word." Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Those that fear the Lord are going to be glad when they see me. I certainly hope that's true in people's lives. I really do hope that's true. I'll do my best, Lord. You know, our hope in the Lord is the beginning of our witness to others. I have a little testimony here. When I was in the hospital, every single person, I taught a lot of people how to pray. It didn't matter what stage of recovery I was in. If I was awake and somebody came in my room, I said, "Come over here," and I took their hand. I said, "Pray for me." And they said, "Oh, okay, Miss Burdett, we'll pray for you." I said, "No, pray now where I can hear you." I mean, it didn't matter if it was a CNA, if it was the guy delivering my lunch tray, if it was, you know, the person with the mop. It didn't matter if it was the doctor or the nurse or the PT person. I don't care. Every single one of them learned something about prayer. Everyone.
Great stuff.
Our hope in the Lord is the beginning of our witness to others. Our praise to God in the midst of sorrow and affliction is a strong witness to God. Our proper response to God in the good times and in the bad times, that's another. When we love each other, especially the unlovable, we are witnesses. When we bring judgment on evil and justice to people, we are witnesses. When we refuse to take offense, when we follow the constitution of the kingdom of God without murmur or complaint, we are witnesses. Now, those of you who don't know the constitution of the kingdom of God, go read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
Because that's it.
God gives us his anointing, his power to do these things, to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. I encourage you to get you all to get rid of your unbelief tonight.
Amen.
To throw out what you think you know about God's anointed and simply admit it's you. Hallelujah. When you are confident of your anointing, nothing can stop you. You will take every bitter thing and make it sweet. Hallelujah. You will vanquish every fear, stop your ears to every lie, and meet every challenge and walk in success and peace.
Amen.
The word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. If Christ is in you, then the anointing is already in operation. You are continually being smeared from the inside out. You are living in God's anointing. Because of Christ, you can take little and turn it into much. I've lived in lack, and I've lived in blessing. Blessing is better. When we make the decision to believe God, when we recognize we are God's anointed, blessings begin to flow into our lives. Money and jobs and material goods and spiritual power and godly relationships all start looking for you and find you with ease. That's a good affirmation on a daily basis. All those things, money, jobs, material goods, and spiritual power, and godly relationships, find me with ease.
Amen. Hallelujah. Because I made the decision to believe God, and I recognize I am God's anointed. Hallelujah. So, I just want to say, you are filled with anointing. You are. And people start to want to help and bless you. Bezaleel was filled with all manner of craftsmanship to fulfill God's purpose in building the tabernacle in the wilderness. Vicki Burdett, I am filled with a great desire to bring freedom to God's people and a clear sense of identity in the body of Christ. What are you filled with? What is it that makes you tick, that lights your fire, the thing that revs you up? Because there is anointing in that passion.
Amen. So we're going to try to help you identify your anointing by asking a few questions. And we would like you to think about these questions, write them down, and also your answers.
Get your pencil.
Okay, and I think it's kind of basic, you know, but it's a way of identifying the anointing in you and what is your calling with this anointing. So if you would like to write them down, I'm going to go through them briefly. Think about these questions. What excites you? What excites you? What gives you passion? What do I love to do? What am I good at? What makes me feel good about myself? What makes me feel satisfied? If your answers are really broad, then ask yourself another question. For example, what do I love to do? Travel? Well, ask yourself why. Why do you love to do what you say you love to do? Ask yourself what you do when you travel that you love doing, like that. In other words, continue to explore the why to your answers. If you're good at crafts, what kind of crafts are your favorites? And what do you do with your finished projects? Then stretch your thinking into yet another question. How can this be incorporated into advancing the kingdom of God? You see, every gift, talent, and ability that God has given us is for His purpose and not our own. We all start out selfishly in those gifts and talents and abilities, considering them to be ours and using them to advance ourselves in the world. And then one day, our eyes are open and we realize our gifts our talents, our abilities were put into us by God, and they all rightly belong to God.
Amen. They belong to Him. You know, many times we also realize in that revelation that those gifts were put into us by God and they belong to Him. We realize in that revelation that we have used God's gifts and talents and abilities, sometimes in very ungodly ways. And when that happens, when you get that revelation of how you defiled the gift of God, you're going to be on your face in repentance, just like I was. And many of you have heard this testimony, but and some of you will agree that I have a gift for writing.
Yeah.
And I made my living writing as a communicator in the world. I did a lot of ghost writing, which I can't talk about because that's part of the deal. But I made a lot of money writing books and writing screenplays and writing things that I wouldn't even watch today. You know, I wouldn't. But I did it. And then after I began walking with the Lord, and He gave me the title of three books to start with. He gave me these three titles to do. And the first one was The Counterfeit Kingdom. And when I wrote that book, and they sent me the Blue Line copy, which this was before they digitized everything. So it's a copy off of the printing plates that they actually use to print the book by. It's done in a chemical process, and it shows anything that's wrong with the plate. If there's dust on it, if there's a chip in it, if there's whatever, it will show up on the page. So I was going through this proof copy, this Blue Line, just to see, and not to read it, because it had been read 10 times anyway, but just to see if there was something that needed changing. And I read the last chapter in the book, and it hit me. And there was such an anointing on those words, and it just really came home to me that that gift was God's and that I had used it for myself and against Him in so many ways throughout my life. And I was literally on my face repenting for having squandered and defiled the gift of God. You see, God will train us in the world in our anointing, but ultimately, He desires for us to use that anointing for His purposes. So, if you want to seal this word and these truths in your heart, then I am going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud so that all the hosts of heaven will know that you agree with God, and they'll be released to minister to you. And all the host of hell will know that you disagree with them, and they'll be ready to run. Hallelujah.
Let's kick them out.
All right, let's pray.
Hallelujah.
Let me clear my eyes. I cannot give that testimony without crying. It's amazing. It's just like it was yesterday. Thank you, Lord. Okay, here we go. Pray with me. Father God.
Father God.
Thank you for these insights into your anointing.
Thank you for these insights into your anointing.
Thank you that I am your anointed.
Thank you that I am.
Because I have the Holy Spirit inside me.
Because I have the Spirit inside.
To accomplish every assignment of heaven that you give me.
Every assignment of heaven you get.
I lack nothing.
I lack nothing.
Thank you for a fresh sense of purpose.
Thank you for a fresh sense of purpose.
Thank you for the knowledge.
Thank you for the knowledge.
That because I am anointed and appointed by you.
That I am anointed and appointed by you.
I have purpose in your plan.
I have purpose in your plan.
And I have authority in your kingdom.
I have authority in your kingdom.
Thank you that it is your anointing in me.
Thank you that it is your anointing in me.
That breaks the yoke of bondage.
Breaks the yoke of bondage.
Bondage to infirmity.
Infirmity.
Mental and emotional instability.
Instability.
Bondage to sin. Bondage to sin.
Bondage.
Poverty. And even death. I repent to you, Father.
And to you, Father.
For denying your anointing.
Denying your anointing.
I repent for shrinking back.
I repent for shrinking back.
When you wanted me to speak out boldly and effectively on behalf of your righteousness, I repent to you for not doing good, for not freeing those who are oppressed by the devil, because I believed the lie that I was not anointed. I was not good enough. I ask you to forgive me for receiving that lie. For believing it. And for living it. I pledge to die to myself daily. To love people with your love. A compelling love that requires action in your faith. I accept the challenge into greatness. And I declare, I will see your will accomplished. In every situation, in every circumstance, as I listen to your Holy Spirit promptings, and I rightly respond in your faith to use your anointing that is already inside me. You've already put it there. Continue to rub me, Lord, with your oil of joy and gladness as I take the actions that prove my love for righteousness and my hatred for wickedness. I make this declaration and this supplication in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing, knowing that you hear my prayer. And because I know you hear me, I know I have my petition according to your word. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to speak now to that lie of the devil that you have received, that you were not anointed, that you were not good enough, that has caused the doubt and unbelief and fear of stepping out into your authority. I speak to that lie. These people have a broken agreement with you. You are a lying devil, and you can no longer stay. The truth has come. I cast you out. You come up and out from every cell in their bodies right now. And take your nasty doubt and unbelief with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loose them. There you go. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. And for anybody who is wondering about the end of that prayer, because we know he hears us, we know we have our petition, that is in 1 John. I'm going to read you those scriptures. It's 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hallelujah. Ask according to his will. If you don't know the will, read it. Praise God. If you have a question or a comment about tonight's message, you can push the *6 keys on your telephone keypad, and we'll be able to hear you. Sure hope you enjoyed this. I sure did. Yeah. And it gets better from here.
Hey, I want to thank Father through you. I want to thank you, Father. Yep. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good.
Amen. Ditto here.
Hallelujah. God is good. And this is just part one. Wait till we get into the real meat. Oh, I love it. God is good.
It was wonderful. Awesome message, always. It does just keep getting better and better. Maybe we're growing and growing.
Amen. Amen. I believe it.
Yeah, me too.
Me you know, too. If you're not growing, you're lying.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Claudia.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I am always overwhelmed with what God has done in my life. And I know that if you all will explore the anointing that God has put in you, you will have those same kinds of experiences.
Thank you, brother and sister. Appreciate the word. Thank you for opening our eyes up a little bit out there, giving us some insight.
Thank you, Mitch.
Bless you, brother.
Love you, God.
We love you, too.
Hallelujah. Anybody else got something to say? Star 6. Unmute your phone.
Oh.
All righty then.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Amen. Hearing no other comments.
We'll pray.
Hallelujah. Well, we're just so pleased to have you with us tonight. We love you all so very much. And I just pray, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for your people who are hungry for your word, hungry to grow and be more like you, Lord, and to exhibit your righteousness and walk in your anointing, in your ways. Thank you, Lord, for these people. I ask you just bless them abundantly, Lord, in every step of their lives, and speak to their hearts regularly, leading and guiding and giving them strength in you, Lord, as we turn back the praise and the glory to you, my Father. And as Aaron blessed the people of Israel, Lord, with your permission, I will bless your people with the Aaronic benediction found in Numbers, the 6th chapter. I'm going to do it in Hebrew and then in English. Hallelujah. Yivarech Echa Adonai. Ve'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. Yifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. V'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Lord, we just thank you for your blessing, your presence in our lives, your anointing, all of your goodness. We forget none of your benefits. We just ask for more of you and less of us, Lord, that you manifest your glory, your righteousness in us in a visible way, and people can just be healed by the shadow as we walk by, Lord. That is our goal. That's what we believe we receive, and we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, our Father, and we bow the knee. We give you glory. We give you honor. I ask you, encamp your angels around your people this week.
Yes.
Give them a powerful week, a successful week in you, with that they do exploits in your name, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yeshua yes. HaMashiach. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you all. Have a blessed week. We will be here at the King's Table at 7:15, same number, same access code. And this message will be repeated as the Holy Spirit brings it on Friday night at 8:30. So if you've enjoyed it, come back. You'll hear something that you didn't hear tonight. And bring your friends. God bless you all.
Thank you. God bless you all, too. God bless
Thank you very much.
Good night. Bye.
Good morning.
Good night.
Yep.
We'll be here.
Love that.
Good night, everyone.
Woo-hoo. Good night.
Praise the Lord. God bless you.
God bless, brother.